Momentum Energy is 100% owned by Hydro Tasmania, who in a single hour make enough renewable energy to fill 400,000 bathtubs with freshly popped popcorn, or spin 200 million disco balls all at once, or power an army of 10 million robot vacuums ready to take over the world! Or just help keep your leftovers cold. Either or. For a power company backed by someone who can do all that, switch to Momentum Energy. 100%.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Friday, the 13th of February 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market had a bit of a tumble. The S&P ASX 200 off by 1.4% to 8,917. Those fears artificial intelligence will eat into some company margins, especially software hanging around. The likes of WiseTech off by 10%, Xero, the software maker, too, down by 5%. Gold producers fell pretty much across the board. The banks also saw some profit taking, including Westpac, despite it posting a better than expected quarterly profit of $1.9 billion. Nick Scali, the furniture retailer, off 22%. That's despite a 36% rise in half-year profit. It said January sales rose 3%. The market expected more. I heard its CEO say that interest rate rises may be one of the reasons, but we'll know for sure in the next couple of months. Web travel tumbling 25%. It ended takeover talks today. But one of the big companies today is Cochlear, the hearing implant maker, shares down 19% after a 21% fall in half-year profit, and the company said full-year profit would be at the lower end of its guidance. Currency also having an impact. We'll speak more about the currency moves with Marjaveen Zaman from ANZ in a few moments, but first let's take a deep dive into the Cochlear results with Dig Howard, CEO. Dig, you've got a new major product out, the Nexa cochlear implant with internal memory and an upgradable firmware, but you haven't been able to roll it out as fast as expected. What's happened?
Yeah, we actually rolled it out pretty close to the rate we had expected. We missed by a little bit on our internal targets for the half, but very, very comfortable with the progress we've made. So we launched it back in June. By December, 80% of our sales in developed markets were the Nexa implant. We targeted getting a price increase in some markets, and we got that those price increases to show the benefit of the new technology. And our sales in November and December were 10% up on the same time last year in those markets where we had launched. So we're pretty pleased with that outcome. We would have liked it to be marginally better than that, but not by much.
What makes this new piece of technology so exciting, and how does it help service your growth markets?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. Right up front, with the memory on the implant, it means that if someone needs to replace the external component of the system because it's damaged or they lose it or it just wears out over time, now all we do is we ship them a new one, they put it on, and it works straight away. What had to happen previously was they would have to go into their clinic. The new one would have to be programmed to match them, or their individual map loaded onto that. So it would take clinic time. It would take their time. Now we just send a new processor to their home and they put it on. So it's immediate time saving for people and a clinical benefit, for clinicians as well. So also the external is smaller because it's more power efficient, the new implant. So they're the immediate benefits. But the big thing here, and the reason we developed this implant, is it has much more flexibility on how the auditory nerve can be stimulated. So what we now want to do is conduct research into better ways of stimulating the auditory nerve, which gives people even better hearing outcomes, and particularly better hearing outcomes in noise. So there's a whole world of research and exploration which has started to be undertaken, which we think will give benefits into the future for people.
And so speaking of technology, AI, artificial intelligence, how do you use it both in product and behind the scenes in the company?
Yeah, so first on the benefits of AI, we see a couple of benefits in the product. One is being able to use AI and automation to better filter out background noise. So a deep neural network which can process the sound coming in and separate the voice from the noise is in our future development pipeline. The second one is in leveraging the skills of clinicians, and this can be done in hearing loss, but it can be done more broadly. With an aging society and limited number of clinicians right around the world, we need to find ways to use people's specialist clinical skills and leverage those skills more broadly. And AI is a huge opportunity to do that. And so we are working on some ways in hearing loss where we can increase the capacity of audiologists to see more people, still deliver expert care because they'll be supported by AI.
Can we talk about the impact of currency moves? The Australian dollar is at a three-year high against the US, a one-year high against the euro, or nearly a one-year high. How's it impacting your current and future operations, and how will you be managing it? Because it's a lot higher than where you thought it would be.
Yeah, so Cochlear exports more than 95% of the products we make, so more than 95% of our revenue comes from outside Australia. So we're very exposed to movements in the currency, particularly when they move quickly. Now, we do have a level of hedging to give us, but that hedging gives us time to react. But that's part of our business, and it has been forever. And if we look back over time, the currency has moved around a lot over the last 25 years or more. And we've always then adjusted the business, adjusted our cost base as the currency rises or falls to continue to make sure that we are financially sustainable and be able to invest in future technology and future growth. So we did call the currency out because it has a significant impact. Over time, we will adjust to assuming the dollar stays up to a higher Australian dollar.
Now, one of Cochlear's goals is to help more people hear, which contributes to building a healthier and more productive society. I don't know if this is a long bow to draw, but given the productivity debate we're having here in Australia, is there anything in that? And what's your general take on Australia's productivity path?
Yeah, so first of all, on hearing loss, there is a direct link from hearing loss to productivity or loss of productivity. So for working age adults, who lose their hearing, they often then lose their job, and then often need support of a carer. If they get a cochlear implant, they keep their job, they don't need the support of a carer. And there's been estimates to quantify actually the economic impact of that, and it is significant. There are more people in hearing loss and significant levels of hearing loss than we actually think when we just look around in society. The second one is for older people, and we know that there's a rising incidence of dementia in society. Recently, there was a study in Korea that tracked people with hearing loss across using the medical records in Korea to track their incidence of dementia and their hearing treatment. What it showed was for people between 40 and 79 with severe to profound hearing loss and who then had cochlear implants, their incidence of dementia was no different from people with no hearing loss. For people who had hearing loss and treated it with hearing aids, they had a significantly higher incidence of dementia for those with severe to profound hearing loss. This indicates hearing aids are not the best therapy for people with hearing loss beyond a certain level. And for people with severe to profound hearing loss with no treatment, their rates of dementia were even higher still. So there's growing evidence that treating hearing loss reduces the incidence of dementia in older people, and that is a drag on productivity in terms of the impact on the care economy, on people's ability to live independently as they age, as well as the obvious social impacts.
Your comments about dementia was pretty interesting because I noticed during the earnings call earlier today, it was said that one of the big reasons people don't get referred is people don't see hearing loss for seniors, particularly as a very important medical issue. What does that mean, though, for the perception of hearing loss? Is it changing? Because in the past we've mentioned that it has been improving.
Society is getting better at treating hearing loss, right? We see more people with hearing aids than we used to. But still, people generally think of hearing loss as a natural consequence of aging, like losing our hair or our hair going grey. And we'd prefer it wasn't the case, but it doesn't really matter for our overall health and well-being. What the medical evidence is now showing is it absolutely does matter. If you are losing your hearing, your cognition, your brain is at higher risk than if you had normal hearing. And is showing that if you treat the hearing to restore hearing, you do provide protection for your brain and for cognition. So hearing loss should be treated as one of the more serious medical conditions. That's the reason people seek treatment for something usually, is because it's inconvenience or there is a risk of something worse happening to them. Hearing loss, the awareness is raising of the links between hearing loss and cognition, but it's certainly not nearly at the level that it should be, given the level of evidence.
Finally, this is a question I hate asking CEOs because I'm often shot down when I ask about share price reaction low. But, I mean, there was a pretty severe reaction to your announcement today. Similarly, I asked the same question to AMP CEO yesterday when its share price tumbled more than 20%. CBA, Matt Comyn, I asked the same question when its share price rose quite dramatically after its results. So I'll ask the same thing to you. Given we saw a double-digit fall in your share price today, it's pretty apparent the market doesn't like the update. And I know you can't control the market, but what's your message to investors at your results, looking at your results and your guidance?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, I'm disappointed with the share price falling for sure. But I've always got to separate what's the share price at any moment to how well are we running the company and how do we run it better than we do. And 99% of my focus is on how do we run the company better? How do we help more people here? How do we make it easier for them to live their lives and do so in a financially sustainable way so our shareholders benefit? So, yeah, it's disappointing, but it doesn't change what I do each day in terms of how we run the company and what our goals are.
That's Dig Howitt there, the CEO of Cochlear. Now, he was mentioning the Australian dollar and the currency impacts. The Aussie now at a three-year high against the greenback, surging more than 6% in just the first 6 weeks of this year at just below 71 US cents. It's also up against the euro by about the same amount over the past 6 weeks at a near one-year high. So that's more than what the company Cochlear was expecting. But what's driving the Australian dollar at the moment and where to next? For that and more, I spoke with Marja Bean-Zaman. She's the head of FX currency research at ANZ. Marja Bean, the Australian dollar's up more than 6% since the start of the year. What's driving it? Is it a strong Australian dollar story or a weak US currency?
Look, I think it's a whole host of factors, right? Of course, we have the RBA. They just hiked. Fed, we're looking at two cuts. So there's diverging monetary policy happening. But that's not the only thing. You know, I think there are a couple of other drivers. Now, we look at the Chinese yuan. Now, that has been gradually strengthening over a period of time in the last few months. And that, at the margin, is also providing a bit of impulse to the Aussie. And, of course, you know, when we think about the U.S. dollar story, we do think there is a fading U.S. exceptionalism story. We think global growth is now converging. And at the margin, that means a weaker USD. And last but not least, I'd like to kind of speak to the view that, you know, 2025 was a year where euro was the anti-dollar proxy. This year, we're not quite seeing that because last month we had US-European tensions on the headlines. And as a result, Aussie and even Kiwi dollar, you know, we are a little bit isolated from that noise, that geopolitical uncertainty. And that's probably one of the reasons that we have done well.
So where exactly do you see the Australian dollar going? I mean, we've also got the US CPI inflation numbers out tonight. Will it likely move it in the short term?
Look, I think the US CPI story, you know, is pretty much a given. We have seen US CPI gradually moving lower and lower. We're expecting that to continue, which kind of then leads into the Fed easing story. And look, we're looking at two rate cuts, and that is ahead of the new Fed chair that's coming through, which we know will be a little bit more dovish than the current chair Powell that we have. So, you know, I think the margins of the Fed easing or not easing, I think kind of weighs towards more easing rather than less, so that weaker dollar story continues to remain. And that's not the only point that drives a weaker dollar. 2025, the number one driver of weaker USD was policy uncertainty. Now, policy uncertainty, we think, will likely remain, you know, because of the different headlines we see from overseas. And I think that's going to also lend some impulse to a weaker USD ahead.
What about against the other crosses? How's it looking?
Yeah, look, I think when we think about FX, we look at Aussie Kiwi, Aussie Sterling, Aussie Euro, and there's a different story for all of them. Now, with the Aussie Kiwi, rate differentials are important. Now, the RBA has hiked. We don't think the RBNZ is going to hike until December this year. We have the RBNZ meeting next week. We expect them to be on hold. And that's clearly why we are seeing the Aussie Kiwi at multi-year highs. When we think about Aussie Sterling, it's a little slightly different. Aussie Sterling, we're looking at Sterling, Bank of England. We're looking at 2 to 3 more hikes coming through this year. And as a result, that relative policy divergence will be, you know, will help Aussie against the sterling. And then, of course, we have Aussie yen, which is quite interesting because we just had PM Takaichi solidify her, you know, her party's role in the lower elections over the last weekend. And, you know, she has strong fiscal ambitions. And at the margin, we think this will lend to a weaker yen going forward again against other crosses.
Interestingly, we heard from Cochlear today saying its underlying net profit would be hit by around $30 million if the AUD remains at its current level for the rest of this financial year. Its guidance was assuming 66 US and Euro 56 cents. Do you think this is something we're going to start hearing a lot of from companies during reporting season? And exactly how do these exchange rates hit their bottom line?
Yeah, look, I think when we think about the corporates, I think it really depends whether you're an exporter or whether you're an importer. You know, the low Aussie dollar had been great for exporters so far. Now that the Aussie dollar has rallied, the importers, you know, it's going to be more beneficial for importers who are natural sellers of the Aussie. And so I think it's kind of, you know, push and pull. We are continuing to expect the Aussie to move higher towards 73. I mean, there are still some plus points. I mean, for us, going overseas is going to be slightly cheaper. I think that's a good news. And at the same time, you know, higher domestic currency tends to reduce the price of imported goods. And at the margin is a little bit disinflationary as well. And so I think that's all going to play out as the Aussie moves higher.
Finally, Marjabeen, what do you make of the other key market trends at the moment? We've got the AI boom and the related sell-off that we're seeing in tech stocks, especially software stocks lately, and the relationship between precious metals, especially gold and silver.
Look, I think the AI story, it's too early to really call, you know, the final sort of where this is really going to go in terms of the trend. What we know is that there has been a huge capex spending. What we don't know is what the ROI is probably going to look like. But for us, from an FX perspective, it's really a story of whether the AI boom is going to be a return of US exceptionalism. We don't think so. We do think that, you know, this time around, there are other economies involved in the growth of this space, Korea, Taiwan, China. So again, you know, I think the benefits will be more well spread across. And then on the other point where you talked about metals, look, I think Aussie dollar does have a pretty decent correlation with precious metals, gold and silver as well. And at the margin, if they continue to move higher, which we think they will, you know, that again provides support for the Aussie as well.
That is Marjabeen Zaman there from ANZ. She's the head of FX research and she wraps up the podcast for this Friday and for the week. Don't forget to click subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you are streaming this podcast from, and I'll see you next week.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This summer, feed your curiosity with SBS. In How Humans Talk, Rune Pedersen explores how language connects us, shapes our identities, and even changes how we see the world. And Grave Matters takes a lively look at death with Anthony Levin and Nadine J. Cohen digging into the mysteries of grief, death care, and the business of dying. You'll want to talk about these shows all summer. Listen now on the SBS audio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.